And look in Romans chapter number 12 with us tonight. Romans chapter number 12. I love you, preacher. Appreciate Brother Ken tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad there wasn't no drama team when I got here. Hallelujah. That's a blessing. Amen. You say that won't happen here. Yes, it will. Oh, it happened in a month's time. If you quit standing for the standards of the Word of God. Look in Romans tonight, chapter number 12. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you. Oh, God, if you don't show up, this is going to be a mess. But, Lord, if you'll show up, it'll sure be a miracle tonight from the Word of God. Lord, we appreciate you tonight and what you've done for us even this day. Father, we glorify you tonight for the blood of Jesus. Father, we plead that same blood tonight on this pulpit. I plead the blood tonight upon this vessel. Oh, God, I pray you would bind any evil, bind any wickedness, bind any hindrance that might be in this place tonight. God, would you take this true inherent Word of God? Lord, would you give it to us now? Lord, would you give it to us only the way you can? That's the best way. And I pray, Lord, now you'd open up the windows of our heart that the Word of God might get in us tonight. When we leave this place, we'll be able to pull out of the parking lot and say it was good to have been in the house of God on this Sunday night. We thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thank you for standing tonight. You can be seated. Tonight, we see here in this text as the Apostle Paul pinned down these two verses. What great verses they are tonight. We could take these two verses and live the rest of our life on these two verses as we live walking in holiness for the Lord. He says here, I beseech you, therefore. I thank God for my Bible tonight. I thank God for the King James Bible tonight. Hallelujah. There ought to have been more than five people said amen right there. Friend, you better not take for granted your Word of God tonight, because the enemy wants your Word tonight. Look what he said. The King James puts it right. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, that word beseech right there means, hey, come here, I want to tell you something. That's what it means. If I went walking down the aisle when I got here this morning, I'd say, hey, come here, I want to tell you something. You'd run over somebody trying to get to me because you think I'm fixing to tell you something, amen, that nobody else knows. And that's what Paul said. He said, hey, come here. Come a little closer. I want to share something with you right here. And we see here tonight that he gives us great advice. He's speaking to us that are born again. Ain't it good to be born again tonight? By the mercies of God that you present your body as a living sacrifice. Amen? Anybody ever told you it ain't about you? Holy. Boy, we need some of that in 2015. Acceptable unto God, amen, which is just your reasonable. It's just your reasonable service, amen. But I'm interested in verse number 2 tonight. He says here, and be not conformed to this world. That word conformed means to follow the pattern thereof. He said, don't follow the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. That word transformed has got the meaning of the, in other words, the Greek word there is metamorpho. In other words, that's where we get our process of metamorphosis. I didn't pay much attention in school. I just kind of skimmed right by there by the skin of my teeth, done everything I could to graduate. But I do remember one day in science class us talking about metamorphosis. And I remember what process of metamorphosis is when a worm finds himself in a cocoon. And he stays in that cocoon for just a little while, and the sovereignty of God breaks open his cocoon.
and he comes crawling out of there. But when he sees the light, he all of a sudden sprouts wings when he sees the light. And all of a sudden that glorious color goes to reflect it off the sunlight, off of his wings. And he sets out sail. And he sails in this world for a short time. And he goes from one nectar to the next. He can't get enough nectar. The butterfly lives for one reason. That's to spread the nectar. Amen. And he goes from one flower to the next flower. Amen. And then one day he flies away to his master's land. I thank God tonight for the Lord Jesus. Amen. He was a worm for us tonight. And he crawled in that cave. They put him in that cave, in that tomb, friend. But the third day he come out of there, and he's been flying gloriously ever since tonight. Bless his holy name tonight. Hallelujah. He said, be transformed. Now, if I'm going to get something that glorious and that good, amen, if I'm going to fly like a butterfly, amen, I need to know how to do it. And he didn't leave that out. He said, here's how, that you're going to fly like a butterfly. Yay. Glory to God. Amen. Can you just imagine tonight, he's going to give us the secret on how to live in the glory. That's what's missing in our churches in this day and time. Friend, we need some glory. Amen. I had a conversation with one of the young preacher boys in our church this morning. And he's talking about going to go over here and going to take Bible classes over there. I said, you keep yourself out from over there. Amen. He looked real blank when I said that. But friend, I'm telling you, I said, hey, son, are there any glory over there? He said, well, there's a lot of truth over there. I said, well, there's a lot of truth in a lot of places, son. But I won't know there any glory over there. He said, well, there's a lot of legalism over there. And I said, keep yourself out from over there. Because in 2 years, I won't be able to let you behind the pulpit because you'll be some kind of mean, uncompassionate, nincompoop. I won't be able to let you behind the pulpit because I can't trust what you're going to say tonight. Hey, friend, you thank God for the truth. And I've got my copy of the truth. But without the glory, you ain't got nothing tonight. The glory of God is God's amen. The glory of God is God letting you know, hey, I like that. Amen. Thank God for His glory. So if we're going to live in the glory tonight, we must learn how to do that. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to preach for just a minute tonight, or two. May take an hour. I don't know. But I want to preach on this. Are you right in the head? Are you right in the head? In Ephesians 4:23, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Our head is a sensitive area. Our head's sensitive physically. Our head's sensitive tonight, mentally and spiritually. Might I report to you tonight, the devil wants your head. Amen. There's headhunters from hell tonight, and they're sent to get your head. He says, if you're going to live in the glory, you better renew your mind. Tonight, the head's a sensitive area. You see, tonight, I walked around behind my truck the other day, and there's one of them hitches sticking out. And I walked around there, and just a little bit, I had enough confession the last 3 Sundays that I had. Just, amen. When my shin come up again, that thing, amen, I danced and hollered and held on to the tailgate to keep from vomiting on myself. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. And I got over it. I had a little scratch on my leg, and I got over it. But if I'd have come around through there and hit my head on that same hitch, it would have killed me. You see, your head tonight is a sensitive area. You might be able to put up with some things in other areas of your life. But friend, you better watch your head. There's a price on your head tonight. Satan wants our head, first of all, to confuse our thinking. And he wants our head not only to confuse our thinking, he wants our head to carnal our thinking. Anytime somebody that claims to be a child of God walks out of a glory church, they walked out of the glory church for one of 2 reasons. Write it down in the front side of your Bible. Underline it three times and don't you forget it. If anybody walks out from under a glory church and they say, well, I feel like the Lord's leading us out of here. First of all, if this place isn't God's will and there's glory here, there's truth being preached here, you're lying. Because last time I checked, ain't nowhere to go between here and yonder. Amen. You drive to Wee Dowie and you're not going to find nowhere between here and Wee Dowie. You've got to drive a long ways, her friend, to find somewhere to go to church in this day and time where the glory is. You see, he says here, that glory. Thank God for that. Thank God for that transformation. You see, tonight, them people walk out under glory. The devil has, number one, he's either took their head and confused their thinking. People leave a glory church, come up with some of the stupidest stories you ever heard in your life. Amen. Or number two, they'll leave because he carnalized their thinking. All of a sudden, they had more little God than they did big God, and so they wound up getting out of church. Amen. He wants your head tonight. He wants your thinking tonight. You see, tonight, sin started in the head. The very first sin that happened in the Garden of Eden. Excuse me, ladies, but I got to tell the truth. The first sin started in the head of Eve. Amen. The devil wanted her head. Amen. And she didn't guard her head. And she believed the lie that the devil told her. And the next thing happened, that sin had birthed itself upon the face of the earth. And it spread to Adam. And it's been spreading ever since. Friend, sin started in the head. And it ain't no different today. He wants your head. The devil wants your head. That's the reason the psalmist David said that he wanted the Lord to anoint his head. Oh God, would you anoint my head? You ought to play that when you get up every morning. Oh God, would you anoint my head? Would you anoint my head? He says in Psalm 27, he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. But to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. I'd love to preach right there about an hour. If you want your life right with God, get in church. Amen. Amen. Every day, every week you miss church is a month that you ain't going to live right for God. Ain't got time to argue with you. Verse number 5, for in the time of trouble He shall hide me. Boy, the Lord's hid me from a lot of things in the house of God. Hallelujah. He said He shall hide me in His pavilion. Amen. Thank God tonight. In the secret of His tabernacle. If you get in church regular, you'd be surprised what He'd hide you from. Oh, preacher, the devil's driving me crazy. Get up here to the hideout. If you get to the hideout, you wouldn't have the trouble you're having. Amen. I ain't going to never get done here. Y'all going to have to leave me alone. Look here. Shall He hide me? He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You want to get your head right? Get in the house of God. Hallelujah tonight. The devil wants your mind. He wants your mind. The mind is the control panel of life. Everything happens in your life first went through your head. Amen. There's something in the car called a brain box. And without the brain box, that thing won't even crank. It won't run. It won't go in gear. Won't do nothing without that brain box. You take a boat motor and you put that thing out there on the lake, pull the brain box off, and it just sits there. Amen. Tonight, it's the same way with our life. Our head, our mind, is the brain box of our life. And that's why the devil wants your head. Because the only way he's going to get into your life is to come in through your head. He's not going to come in through your toe. He's not going to come in through your blessed assurance. He's not going to come in through your right hand. He's going to come in through your head. Amen. Satan wants our head. No wonder the Lord said in 1 Peter chapter number 4 to be sober. Be sober. Amen. Be sober, therefore, he said. No wonder, 75% of America is hooked on some kind of drug. Amen. No wonder the devil's trying to get our kids hooked on meth because they ain't right in the head when they're on meth. No wonder he's wanting you to smoke doobies, because you ain't right in the head when you're smoking doobies. No wonder tonight he's wanting you to sip on Jack Daniels, because you ain't right in the head when you're sipping on Jack Daniels. No wonder tonight he's trying to get us hooked on prescription pills, because he knows your head gets real cloudy. Amen. Look up in here. Ain't no need to look at the floor tonight. He wants your head. The devil wants your head tonight. He wants the sinner's head. He wants the sinner's head in hopes that he will reject grace. He wants the saint's head in hope that he'll go stupid. Somebody say amen. He wanted the head of the Savior, but he was sovereign. Hallelujah tonight. Thank God today. The devil wants our head because he can get our head and get our peace. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why does he want your peace? Because there's an amazement in peace. Amen. And there's the protection of armor in peace. Hey, you take a man of God that's full of the Holy Ghost and he got the peace of God in him, you might ought to move, because you're about to get hurt if you get in his way. Amen. Hey, thank God for the peace of God. And the devil knows he can get your head, he can get your peace tonight. Amen. He wants your head so he can get your peace. He wants your head so he can get your power. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." He can get your head. He can get your power, which will make you weak tonight. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." He can get your power. He can make you weak, and you won't be a witness. Oh, he wants your head. He can get your peace and your power. He wants your head that he might get your post. Oh, brother, please return to your post. We got so many posts that's been left. People's walked off from where God put them. Amen. He wants your post. Amen. Because you're most effective where God puts you. You'll never be effective nowhere else but where God puts you. In Philippians 1:27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Hallelujah. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How come? That ye may be prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We are in the proving business. And you'll not be an effective prover unless you got your head screwed on right. Why is our country in a mess? Because we got a bunch of leaders that ain't right in the head. Why is the Supreme Court passing what they passing? Because they ain't right in the head. Why is Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi and all around in a mess in our states and our counties and our cities? Because we got people running them that ain't right in the head. Why do we have so many dead churches? Because we got people running them that ain't got their right in the head. Amen. Tonight we need somebody that's willing to keep their head screwed on right. Amen. The devil. Hey, did I tell you tonight? The devil wants your head. Are you right in the head? If you ain't right in the head, ain't nothing right. You ever heard that statement, "If mama ain't right, the whole house ain't right"? Amen. Well, a lot of that's because mama's the heart of the home. And if the heart's got heart trouble, then they're going to be all kinds of trouble. Blood pressure won't be right. You'll have dizziness. And amen. If the heart ain't right, friend, it's just all kinds of messes in the home. Amen. But might I say this this evening, if your head ain't right, there ain't going to be nothing else right. Your head ain't right, I don't care if they vote you in as president, you ain't nothing going to be right. If your head ain't right, ain't nothing right. If you don't hear me say nothing else tonight, would you please hear that? If your head ain't right, there ain't nothing else right. The devil wants your head. Amen. Are you right in the head? Let's look at a few things. I'll be done. Get out of your way. First of all, we see Satan reaches for our head. That's what he's reaching for. He wants your head. Am I right, preacher? He wants our head. Why does he want our head? He wants our head because if he gets our head, he gets our understanding. He wants to warp your mind. I say he wants to warp your mind. If he can get your head, he can warp your mind. Amen. In Philippians 4, he says in verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank God tonight. Hey, he wants your understanding tonight. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. He wants to cloud your understanding, because if he clouds your understanding, then he'll cloud your discernment. And there ain't nothing like going to church with a bunch of people that ain't got no discernment. Amen. The devil is reaching for our head. He wants our understanding, and he wants our undertaking. He wants our undertaking. In other words, the decisions we're making and the determines we're standing on. He wants those things. Satan wishes to deter us from the will of God, plain and simple. He knows he can't have your soul, but if he can only make you run in the ditch. Amen. He wants your undertaking tonight. Amen. The devil wants our head. He gets our head, then he gets our decisions. He gets our decisions, he gets our discernment. Amen. He gets our discernment, then he detours us tonight. In Romans chapter number 7, y'all all right? In verse number 15, I love how the Apostle Paul said it. He said, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. He said, for the good I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is he's as confused as we are. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Amen. The devil wants your head. He can get your head, he can make you live in the flesh. Amen. He can make you live carnal instead of living in Christ tonight. Amen. He wants our head. Satan's reaching for our head. He's reaching for our head because he knows that's the window to your life. If he can have your head, he can have you. But you see, it really ain't your head that he wants, because your ugly head ain't worth nothing. I mean, look at this head. What good would he do to have my head? He only wants your head because your head's what lets him in. He really don't physically want your head. He just wants what your head's connected to. You see, because if he can get our head, then he can get our heart. That's what he wants our head for. He wants your head. Because if he can get your head, he can get your heart. Oh, how He wants our heart. Now, why would He want my heart? Because Jesus said in Matthew 22, He said in verse number 37, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. He said, this is the first and great commandment. He wants your head, because then He can get your heart. How many people you know tonight that He got in their head, and now He's got their heart? Why would He want my heart? Well, He wants my heart because He gets my heart, then He can get my compassion. He wants my compassion. Amen. He wants our compassion. He don't want you to give a flip about nobody but yourself. So tonight, if you've got a good case of the selfishness, oh, He's done got your head. Be careful, He done slipped up in the edge of your heart. Hey, friend, if you're not caring about nobody but yourself, if all you care to get saved from hell, and tonight is just you and yours, He's done got your head. He wants your head that He might get your heart. Because He gets your heart, He'll get your compassion tonight. No wonder America's full of selfishness, full of self-centeredness. America is full of herself. Amen. America's full of herself. You know why people run you out of the road on purpose? Because they're worried about themselves. And you know how come everybody takes advantage of everybody else? Because they're worried about themselves. I hate Walmart. I can't stand Walmart. Walmart's got to be akin to hell. Amen. Every demon in our county goes to Walmart. And they still got their pajamas on at 3 p.m. Amen. Every purple-haired, green-haired, polka-dotted monster goes to Walmart. Amen. You see, friend, they go over there to Walmart. And then when they get so many of them in there, you can't even find what you need. I mean, they're just everywhere. I mean, running into you all in the aisle. Talking trash in the aisle. You can't get around them. I'm just beating this mess I ever seen. Amen. They're interested in themselves. We got a generation interested in themselves. I said they're interested in themselves. You know why everybody's interested in themselves? Because the devil's done got their head. And he's done slipped into the edge of their heart. And he's got their compassion. But tonight you want Liberty Baptist Church to die out. You want this thing to just be nothing but a little pretty landmark over in the city limits. Then let the devil have your head. Because when he gets your head, then he's going to get your heart. And he'll have the compassion of your life. He wants the compassion of our heart, but he wants to callous our heart. He wants our heart to grow hardened. He says in 1 Timothy chapter number 4 that their hearts were even calloused. Oh, God, help me. If I lose my compassion, soon I get calluses. Amen. You know why we'll get calluses on our hand? Because we're too tough to wear gloves. Amen. My granddaddy was religiously against gloves. He see us with our gloves on, he'd almost whoop us, make us pull them off. He said, only sissies wear gloves. Get them things off. He said, if they won't fit your feet for socks, then you ain't got no business having them. Amen. He believed in calluses. Now, calluses come because of abuse of the hands. And the devil wants your heart. He'll callous your heart by the abusing of your heart through stealing your compassion. Amen. Are we okay? He'll reach your heart. When he gets your heart, he wants to compassion your heart. He wants to callous your heart. He wants to careless your heart. I've never seen a generation that don't give a flip like this one. I mean, they really just don't give a flip. They don't care about nothing or nobody but what they want. Don't care about the children. Don't care about nothing. Don't care about the family. Amen. They don't care about nothing but themselves. A careless. You see, if he gets our compassion, then he gets our heart calloused. And before long, friend, you become careless. When's the last time you heard a teenager say, I don't care? Not since about 10 minutes ago. Amen. Be careful, teenagers. Don't use that vocabulary. Don't let the devil have your head. He gets your head, he wants your heart. Amen. In Psalm 19, verse 14, he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. In chapter 25, verse 17 of Psalm, he says, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. He says in chapter 26, verse number 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. In chapter 51, verse number 10, the psalmist said, create in me a clean heart. Oh, God, he said, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You better pray for your heart. But you see, it ain't your heart that the devil really wanted. It wasn't your head that it wanted, but he had to take your head to be able to get to your heart. And it really wasn't your heart that he wanted. It's that he had to take your head that he could get to your heart, because he was really headed somewhere else. He didn't really want your heart, but your heart is the way to your hand. He don't want your head. He only got your head because that's the only way to your heart. And the only reason he wants your heart, because if he can get your heart, he can get your hand. And if he gets your hand, he's got you. He wants to stop the reach of our hand. He's reaching for our head that he may reach for our heart, that he may stop the reach of our hand. Notice your Bible. Look where we started in Romans 12. Look what he said. He said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word renewing means renovation. In other words, a refreshing, a renovation, a reviving, a daily maintenance of your mind. How come? Watch. That ye may prove. That ye may prove. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Prove. Why would he want my hand? Because if he can stop the reach of my hand, he can stop the reach of my testimony. Your testimony is the most high-dollar thing you got in your life. Without a testimony, you're no good. Without a testimony, you can't reach nobody. Without a clean testimony, how are you going to tell somebody else what he can do? How are you going to prove to somebody else that he is the Redeemer? He is the mighty God. He is the Father of all. He is the Savior. He is the blood Redeemer. How are you going to prove that if your testimony is messed up? I realize that all of us in here has had marks on our testimony, but I praise God tonight for the blood of Jesus. Amen. Listen here, failure ain't never final. Because when the blood's involved, friend, there's always a good renovating starting. Hallelujah. Brother Gerald's going to carry my wife's car home. Got some bear damage. My daughter drove my car up in Virginia, run over one of the bears. Thank God she did. That son-in-law wouldn't let her stop and check on the bear. Amen. Hallelujah. They kept driving. Amen. So it's got bear damage. So he's going to carry it home with him, and he's going to renovate the bear damage. I'm not going to total the car just because I had a little varmint issue. I'm not going to throw it away just because it's got a little bear damage on one corner. Tonight, listen, many times we allow the devil to do, he'll do reverse psychology on your head. Because he'll do something in your life, your weakest area, he'll cause you to mar your testimony just a little. Just a little bar damage. Just a little varmint damage on one corner of your life. Amen? And then he'll pull out a lawn chair and sit in the edge of your yard and convince you for the next month how no good you are. You'll never be able to be used of God again. You're no good for nothing. Amen. Hey, I say tonight, find you a good altar somewhere. Pull up in there, get your bear damage fixed. Plead the blood of Jesus. Put a little Bondo in there. Replace a few broken parts. Shine her up. Put a good shiny coat of paint on the edge of that corner and hit the road. Roll the window down and shout all the way home, I'm not going to hell. Amen. Thank God tonight. I'm glad failure is never final when it comes to the Lord Jesus. He's wanting our testimony. Why would he want our testimony? He wants our testimony because your testimony is one of the biggest bullets you got. In Revelation chapter number 12, and they overcame him. Him is the devil. And they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Somebody say whoopee. Hallelujah. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Hallelujah. It starts off with the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the blood, you ain't got nothing no how. Amen. You must first be washed in the blood of Jesus. And then you have a testimony. And if you got a testimony, then you can move in there in that selfless life and love not their lives unto the death. That's a triple barrel shotgun that'll blow the devil's plan right off the map. Amen. Hey, tonight, he wants your head that he might reach your heart, that he might stop the reach of your hand. Because if he can stop the reach of your hand, then he can stop the reaching of your testimony. Your testimony is the evidence of the works of grace. And he wants to stop the reach of your touch. How many lies has your life touched? You say, well, I'm not no good preacher. I beg to differ. When you get to glory, you'll see all them lives you touched. You don't got no idea who you're touching. If you don't believe me tonight, take a little 5-year-old boy or girl and you go to acting wrong in front of them, saying things you ought not to say before the sun goes down. They'll be doing what you're doing, saying what you're saying. Amen. It's the same way with adults. We're just too prideful to show it. We're touching everybody we walk by. And the devil wants to stop your touch. Why would he want to do that? Because my touch is the evidence of the wonder of his grace. My testimony is the evidence of the works of his grace. But my touch is the evidence of the wonder of his grace. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sister, you come tonight. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, here's what he said. Finally, brethren, farewell. He said, be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. As we stand together tonight, may I ask you a question? Are you riding ahead? Are you riding ahead tonight? Let's bow our heads. We're going to pray tonight.